We're thinking about the foundations of the temple being laid again in the book of Ezra. And if you look in your notice sheet, you'll see a little timeline explaining when these things happened. It's a bit confusing because the dates go backwards. It was even more confusing for them because they didn't know what year it was at all. They didn't know about AD and BC, so it was even harder for them. And it does feature one of my two favourite Bible names, Zerubbabel. I think that's a wonderful name, along with Obed-Edom. That's another one that I like, but it's Zerubbabel today. And he was the one who came back from captivity in Babylon after Darius had taken over and let them go. And so he came back with thousands of Jewish people from captivity. Must have been a long walk. If you look how far they'd walked, it must have taken some time. And anyway, they've got back to the ruins of Jerusalem. There were still a few Jewish people left there in Jerusalem who were not taken into captivity previously, because it was mainly the aristocrats, the leaders, the wealthier people, and all those in important positions who'd been taken into captivity. Some of the poor people had been left behind, but they, of course, were in a dreadful state after the country had been completely ruined and burnt by the Babylonians. So now they're back in Jerusalem, but it's still a ruin, and Zerubbabel gets them going to start rebuilding the temple. The temple was, of course, of major significance to the Jewish people. It was the only official place where they could offer sacrifices to God. And so for them, the temple was the absolute focus of their religion. And so this was very important to them. But the previous temple, which had been a marvelous thing to them and a beautiful building, had gone. And so now they were really very upset about this. But they started work again by laying the foundations. And so it probably looked something like this. Not quite as impressive, really, as the Solomon's temple that had gone. And I think we can think a lot about foundations. There's a lot in there for us to think about. It just looks like a muddy field. That's what most building sites seem to look like, just a muddy field, until something starts being put up on top of the foundation. But foundations are very important, aren't they? This church had a problem with its foundations. If you go outside at the front, you'll see that that end of the church had to be underpinned. I can't remember the year. But if you go and look at the stone outside, you'll be able to see about that. And we had a bit of a problem with our house a few years ago, and we had to have some underpinning of the foundations. And that made me think, if even the church needs underpinning now and again, what about our faith? Are we in the position where our foundations are solid? What is your foundation of faith? What is the basis of your belief? There's something for you to think about. Does it need a bit of work done on it? Or are you ready to build on that foundation, just like the Jewish people who returned to Jerusalem started with a firm foundation? Probably didn't look quite like that, but something similar. And they proceeded to build on it, to build a new temple, which was maybe not quite as marvellous as Solomon's temple, but still a really impressive building and very important to them. And what we see quite often in the Bible is that in the Old Testament, we see a physical thing happening, and in the New Testament, we get that mirrored in a spiritual sort of way. So, good example is the Old Testament is really almost completely about the building of the Jewish nation and how God supported that Jewish nation, and how they didn't always do what they were told, but God kept coming back to them and building that nation so that it survived and is still there, which is a remarkable thing, really, when you think of all the other nations who've gone and great civilizations that have disappeared, that still that nation is still there. And that's what the focus of the Old Testament really is, the building of that nation. But when we go to the New Testament, we see something very similar, but it's not a physical nature that God's building, it's a spiritual nation. And in just the same way, in the Old Testament, there's a great deal of focus on building the temple. This is very important to them. And in the New Testament, we see about how to build our own life on the foundation of Jesus. So in the New Testament, people don't tend to do physical things, they do spiritual things, and we are a spiritual nation, not the physical nation that the nation of Israel is. We are a spiritual nation which does not have a capital city or a temple. We don't have politicians in this nation that God's building. We're a spiritual nation, but it's still very much the same sort of idea in the Bible. So we see this sort of thing, and the foundations that the Jews laid were not just in the ground. The foundations they laid were for the nation, weren't they? And in the same way, the foundations we lay in our lives are for the nation that now follows Jesus. So our foundation, we read, should be Jesus. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezra, you probably noticed, and you see this even more in the book of Nehemiah, that all the people came together and did some work. They didn't send out for quotations to rebuild the temple, or when we get to Nehemiah, the walls. No, they didn't get some big company to come in and do it for them and raise money with a thermometer outside to indicate how much money they'd raise. No, they went and did it themselves. This was something they had to do themselves. And so they set to, and we read in the book of Nehemiah about all the individual people who built little bits of the wall. And so you can see that everybody was doing it. Nowadays, of course, we don't tend to do building work unassisted. We tend to get a builder in, and so it's a bit different. But there's a builder who can help us. In fact, we read in the Bible that Jesus is quite involved in the building trade. You may not have known that. Well, of course, we believe he was probably a carpenter, but much more than that, we see that Jesus is the foundation. He's the rock on which we build. He also is a builder. He will help us build our lives. And he is the capstone. You remember in, I think, book of Peter, he's the capstone, the stone that people rejected and became the top of the arch that formed the roof of the building, the most important stone to the people of that time. And what's more, he is the architect of our salvation. So you see, Jesus is pretty thoroughly involved in the building trade. So if you want any building done in your life, not necessarily in your house, but in your life, then he is the person who can do it all for you. He can help you design the plans for what your life needs to be. He is the foundation on which you can build your life, and he will help you build it as well. So you see that if we're looking for some building work to go on in our lives, he is the person who can do all of it. We don't need to send out for someone to help us. Okay, we can find people who may assist us in some way, but Jesus is the person who we really need to be speaking to. So how to build? That's the next question. And of course, if you look in the Old Testament, there was a massive whip round every time they had to do some work on the temple, and people came up with literally wagon loads of gold. And you wonder, what were they doing with all this gold and all these jewels that they seemed to have lying around? Because they actually had wagon loads of gold and jewelry, which they brought to the temple and handed over. And at one point, the people building the temple actually told them that they had to stop bringing stuff because they had so much stuff that they didn't know where to put it and what to do with it. So people really did join in bringing stuff for building the temple. And we, of course, are encouraged to join in bringing stuff to build God's church. There's a part for all of us to do, maybe not bricklaying, but there is something for all of us to do. And we should none of us feel that there isn't a place for us in the church. I assure you there is a place for us in the church. Sometimes a bit harder for people to find it than others, and sometimes we're not ready to let people in, are we? Sometimes we might see someone who could be part of the church, and we're not ready to let them in, but we should be. We should be ready, however skilled or unskilled somebody is, to let them be part of the church. So the people were encouraged to build with the right materials. We got a house made out of gold bullion on the left and a house made out of cardboard on the right. And maybe both have their place. But we're encouraged to build with the right materials. And we read in the book of Corinthians that what we build with in our lives will be tested by fire. Now, this sounds quite a remarkable thing, but it did make me think of something that happened at work. And we've got a lot of platinum and rhodium. Here's a picture of a roll of platinum rhodium wire. And this is the expensive stuff. Forget your gold. Rhodium, I looked up the spot price of rhodium yesterday, and it's 3 times the price of gold is rhodium. It's $5,300 per ounce of rhodium. So that's really the stuff. Platinum, gold, silver, they're nothing like this. So that roll of wire there, that if you read the small print, it's 15 metres long and 0.45 millimetres wide. That roll of wire costs nearly £4,000. It's just a piece of wire about the width of this church. And you could easily hold it in the palm of your hand like that. And anyway, we've got a lot of this stuff at work. And we had a cleaner who was well known to be light-fingered. And for example, he was in charge of the toilet rolls. And we knew that we were buying immense quantities of toilet rolls, but we were often running short, which is not what you want. And we reckoned that he was taking them home. He had a little van and he could put things in it without people seeing. And we reckoned he was offloading them at night somewhere to some unscrupulous shopkeeper or market trader. So we're always short of toilet rolls. Anyway, he came round one of the labs and he noticed there was a couple of rolls of platinum wire lying there, or this platinum rhodium wire, and they had been lying there for a few weeks because the chap who was using them, John, was a bit slow in building his equipment, so they'd been lying there for a while. So he came along and said to John, are you finished with these rolls of wire here? Because if they're just in your way, I'll take them off your hands. And so John thought this was a good opportunity, and so he said, well, tell you what, if you come back in a few days, I'll get out all the scrap metal that we don't need and you can take it away. So the cleaner went away and John unrolled all the platinum wire and put it in a drawer and wound some solder on it instead. And so it looks just the same. So he got his roll of solder out there, wound it on the coils, and when the cleaner came back, he said, oh yeah, I don't need those, you can take them. So the cleaner went off with them. And we know what happened because he came back and told us. I don't know why. He came back and told us. But what happened was he went down to the scrapyard and said, I've got some platinum rhodium here. What will you give me for it? And the scrappy, of course, was instantly suspicious. And it was winter. He had a brazier like that going over there in the corner of his scrapyard. And so he just threw it on there and the cleaner was a bit shocked. And then he was even more shocked when it all melted in the fire, and the scrappy was not pleased, and he set the dogs on the cleaner, chased him off the site with a few bites to his backside or something. So he came back and complained to us about it, and I thought that's a quite entertaining story. And it does have a moral, because what we build in our Christian lives will be tested by fire. Now, you may think that this is at the judgment day or something like that, but that's not necessarily the case. I think that what we build on in our Christian life is tested by everyday circumstances. It may be sickness. It may be that we have an accident. It may be that we have problems at work, maybe even lose our job. It may be that some member of our family gets into serious difficulties. It may be financial, it may be difficulties in marriage or some other relationship we have. It can be any sort of thing, and these things will test our faith. And if our faith is not built on the rock, then we will not stand up. And I meet so many people who say, well, I used to go to church, but when I had some trouble, God never did anything for me, and the church did nothing for me. And I think, I don't know the details of that story. I can't comment on whether the church did let them down or God really did let them down or what. But you can't help feeling that some of those people had not built their faith on the rock of Jesus, because they would have then been able to trust in him. Instead of which, the slightest sign of something going wrong, it's easy to walk away, isn't it, and say, well, my faith did nothing for me. But our faith is not meant to make our life easier. Our faith is meant to make our life better. And so many Christian people suffer and yet don't give up their faith, because their faith is rooted in Jesus and on the rock of his salvation. So how are we going to build? We will go on to see, I think, that the people of Israel did the usual thing and brought out all the wagon loads of gold, and they sent off for the finest timber to build their temple. So how are we going to build our lives? Now, the Bible isn't too specific about what's good and what's bad. We get some hints. But we can see that building on the foundation of Jesus in our lives, with faith and love and prayer and charity and helping other people, those are the things that the Bible recommends that we build with. But it's so easy, isn't it, to look for good food, good holidays, a well-paid, important job, or lots of parties. I'm sure you can think of other things, but I could only fit four bricks on there. But there are many other things that I'm sure you can think of where the Bible recommends us to build in our lives with these things and not with those things. And to think, when these things are tested by fire, by the circumstances of life, what will be left? What will be left of our holidays when Thomas Cook goes bust? What will be left of food when there's some problem at the supermarket or something like that, or there's some salmonella outbreak or foot and mouth disease or whatever? I see the bosses of our company where I work, so many of them are getting sacked at the moment, and sometimes it's nothing to do with how good they are, they're just considered to be a waste of space, and so they just get rid of them just like that. And we get these emails almost every Monday saying somebody will leave the company with effect from last week, and you know exactly what's happened. And so what do these top jobs do for us? And parties, well, I don't go to many parties, but some of you, I'm sure, do go to parties and enjoy them. And I'm sure that they're good while you're there. But you know, is that a basis for our life? So we should be looking to build on the foundation of Jesus and with the right materials, because what we build with will be tested by fire. And just like that cleaner down at the scrapyard, if your building materials are found to disappear when tested by the experiences of life, how will you feel? Will you feel that life has set the dogs on you, or will you feel that what you have done has been tested and found to be okay? So, just in case you slept through bits of it, Zerubbabel got, I like that name, I'll say it again, Zerubbabel got the people to rebuild the temple, but he didn't do this by himself. They did it. They built the temple on the firm foundation, and they used only the best materials. So Jesus asks us to build our life on his foundation, and he will help us do that. But we have to provide some of the materials for that building, and we should choose carefully how we are building on the foundation that Jesus gives us. Because if we are building with the right materials, I'm not saying that our lives will be without difficulties. In fact, very much the opposite can be true, that when we have faith in Jesus, some difficulties present us that are not common to other people around us. but we are able to overcome them. However serious and worrying those things are, we can see that the rock on which we have built cannot be taken away. Our job can be taken away. Our money can be taken away if the bank collapses or something. Our holidays can disappear. Our friends can leave us, but we know that Jesus will not. So, how will you build?